dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason. Long base hit point, George Mason.
It's always a vacation here with the By George guys, but today's a little bit different. Chris Jones is actually on vacation in Florida, living it up. You know, probably rocking American flag gear, drinking Budweisers, and sitting on a beach listening to country music, all your stereotypical things. And so we had to have a guest today, a very special guest, the Tyler Byram. Say what's up to your fans.
Hey guys, nice to be here. I wish I was Chris right now. Sounds like he's having a whole lot better time than I am, but.
Right. And I was like, can you not record from where you're at? Like, are you, you're not in like a foreign country, but you know, he said he needed another Giant Killer member to step up. That's where Tyler pops in, as he has from day one. I want to hear a little bit about like when you got started with Giant Killer. And do you remember how all that kicked off?
Yeah. So that happened back during undergrad, and I did undergrad from fall 2012 to spring 2016, and I think my first time getting involved was the 2014-2015 season. Of course, the guy who puts it all together, he had started the Twitter account and then just kind of had a basic website just to get the ball rolling and just to kind of have a fun trolling type of account to help bridge the gap when we were in the Atlantic 10, kind of live up to some of the other fan bases that were going on at the time. And I had my own show on the campus TV network. It was called Mason Sports Insider. And if you really want to get a kick at what college Tyler was like and how awkward and wanting to be on TV I was, you can Google that and probably find some really fun episodes. But besides the the guy who was running Giant Killer at the time liked what I was doing and kind of wanted to create like a partnership and get the Giant Killer brand more in line with Mason and the Mason media, or student media rather. And he was like, hey, I'll make graphics for you if we do like a Giant Killer play of the week. So they made graphics for us. I gave them a plug at the end of each episode. And then when spring came around, after I kind of did a bunch of episodes doing that, and it was fun and all, I was like, hey, do you want to write some content on our site? And it kind of just started out as a weekly blog, just like five notes about the Atlantic 10 going on at the time, because a lot of fans really knew about George Mason basketball and had their opinions on that. But we wanted to bring in kind of the idea of being an Atlantic 10 fan and knowing what else is going on. So I just kind of did like five storylines each week that was going around the Atlantic 10. Always one of the points was about George Mason, how it was relevant to everything else. And that actually did pretty well, and it got us kind of just talking a little bit with A10 Talk. And of course, you and Chris have done a great job of fostering that relationship even further over the past couple of years. But after that, then I kind of became the beat reporter, if you will, that fall year, going to basketball games, writing about those basketball games, previews, recaps, and kind of growing into what I've been doing with the group for the past couple years, and really just was a part of it when it was just me and the guy who's in charge of it, who wants to remain anonymous through all of this. but yeah, it was kind of just me and him and a couple of his friends tweeting on occasion. And now we've kind of grown to what we have, 5, 6, 7 people now.
You can call him out by name. His name is David. He's now taking a step into the light of it all, understanding that like he has to, because now he is an alum. You know, he's a graduate. He's going to, you know, all sorts of activities now. I actually think we have the DC United game coming up for you Mason alum. Make sure you check that out. But you know, and one thing is you're right. You know, when when Giant Killer was at its basics, Tyler was there. And so talk about now where you're at. You're a graduate now. I believe you're still going to Mason, but what are you doing to pursue your professional goals?
Yeah, without going into too much detail, right now I'm still getting my master's at George Mason. I have one more semester left, which is just my master's project, which for those that haven't been in school a while, they allow projects to serve as thesis, and one more class to go with that, and then I'm done. So I'm set to graduate in December if all goes well. But for the past 2 years since graduation, I've been running the sports broadcasting group at George Mason. Been doing that as a graduate assistant. So we have, aside from basketball, all the other sporting events that are on ESPN Plus, that are on the Go Mason Digital Network, those are all produced, commentated, operated by camera operators, by students that we have at George Mason University, and getting them the experience. And it was something I kind of started when I was in undergrad, helping start that partnership with athletics, and we made the transition to the Atlantic 10. It really changed everything and made it into a whole new ball game. But that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years with Mason, which, with that close relationship with the university and also with athletics, has really allowed me to help do the Giant Killer stuff more frequently rather than other jobs. And along with that, I've also been working at NBC Sports Washington as a digital freelancer, which basically means my day job is kind of like site maintenance with the website, publishing articles that our talent and our writers and our beat reporters put together, and making sure they go on the website, making sure they're presented well, presented with the right videos, other stuff like that. And then, of course, tweeting and Facebooking, that's really what a lot of my job hinges on at NBC Sports Washington. So if you follow any of our accounts, you probably read numerous of the tweets that I've sent out or Facebook posts. And also with that, I send me to live games. So I've gone to Wizards playoff games. I've gone to Nationals games. I've gone to Mystics games. I've gone to a plethora of other events that are around DC to cover them from a writer perspective. But that's what I'm doing right now. I also do a lot of freelance play-by-play gigs, which is what I want to do, where I want to go with my career. I did fill in for Bill Roland on a game 2 years ago, I believe it was now. So starting to get up there. But yeah, that's where I want to go, and that's where I try to put my hand in the pot whenever the opportunities present themselves.
Yeah, and the reason I applauded you from the background was because there's a lot of people at Basin alum that just bitch. They just complain. They just they talk trash about the product. But what are they actually doing to make the product better? Yeah, many people can say donating, and that's fine. You know, that obviously goes somewhere, but you don't necessarily control where that money goes. The difference between what you and what some people do is that you're actually working not just on one side of Mason, but on both the fan forum and then also with Mason on other sports that you're not covering for the school. So not you're just kind of all-rounded with Mason, and not just you, but your girlfriend, I believe, also either works at Mason or attends Mason, and you're just kind of all in ever since you were a student to now, and that takes a special person. That's why I wanted you to get you on the podcast. That's why we appreciate the work that you put in. And now that you do help out with NBC Sports Washington, you bring credibility to our program. And so just want to get you, you know, let you know that we're appreciative. But now I want to transition. I think we've talked about the Tyler Byram enough. I want to hear what you think our starting lineup's going to be. Did you see the pictures of the locker room with the five names? Was that indicative of who's actually going to start? It's just kind of an interesting topic now with some open positions.
Yeah, so we'll kind of wrap those things into one. I'll start off with the locker room. According to NCAA rules, just putting it out there, those five names in the lockers, they can't mean anything because the coaches are not allowed to set their depth charts until I think it's either a full week of practice or 2 full weeks of practice later in the summer. So take it as you will. I don't even remember the five guys that they had the nameplates in.
Would you like me to tell you?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
They might end up being what my prediction will be anyway. So
right. So Kier, Green, Marr, Miller, Calixt.
I mean, that's a very formidable starting five and probably what we would anticipate it would be later on in the season. But just so everyone knows out there that the program's not going to put out there that it's the starting five, and you aren't really going to see much talk about that until probably until at least the semester starts and we get a whole lot closer to the season and to seeing those kind of roles develop, because they aren't allowed to do it. But I mean, don't want to jump the gun and get too far ahead. That's probably what I would anticipate the starting five would be. But man,
can Kier handle that point guard position? You know, a lot of people would argue that the A-10 is a guard heavy league. Kier has shown abilities through weekly accolades, also most improved player. Can he be a point guard though?
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the interesting facets about the team next season, and kind of what I wanted to talk on a little bit about the lineup. And I know we've talked about it in years past with Dave Paulson, but I believe this season he's actually going to have more options than it kind of leads us to believe in terms of what the lineup is going to be. Of course, the talk for the past couple of years, and I'm not going to go into it, is the positionless basketball. You don't have a true 1-2-3-4-5 anymore. You kind of have three guards that can handle the ball real well, a four guy that can perform well in the post and perform well out on the perimeter, and then you have a guy that just kind of hunkers in the post to make sure he doesn't clog the lane too much. But then all those roles are ever-changing. But last year we saw Justin. He did a great job of – he was essentially the backup point guard. When Otis came off the court while Jamar Hartwell was there to essentially be the backup point guard, it was Kier that kind of ran the show out on the court. You never really saw Otis and Justin off the court at the same time. And, I mean, Justin, he led the team last year in scoring, just shy of 15 points, A-10 second team. I think he knows that he's going to be the team leader for this upcoming season. I think part of it, what we're going to see his role be a lot of is, like we saw Marquise Moore a couple years ago, while you're going to see him running the point, running the show on offense, but you're also going to see him be able to be that secondary guy that once he gets the ball, he can instantly drive to the lane. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands all the time, which we kind of saw from Otis. Otis was a player that was fantastic with the ball in his hands, and he did a lot of kind of Steph Curry action away from the ball, but you didn't see him get a lot of separation or have other players respect him in his position on the court. I think with Kier, you're going to see a little bit more of that. But after Kier, of course, Jamal Hartwell, everyone's hoping that he'll be able to take a step forward and play more meaningful minutes. And Javon Green as well, he, I think, will be thrown into the point guard position on a couple of occasions and kind of be that 1-2 punch with Kier that we see on the court.
Do you see a freshman having any sort of impact in talking about the point guard position? You didn't really mention Xavier Johnson. That's someone that I'm kind of high on, you know, kind of judging from Paulson's past. He's not scared to give freshmen meaningful minutes. And, you know, there's an opportunity there to squeeze one of those guys in here. Daddy, we'll find out what's going on with him. But he's listed as a point guard. I can't imagine that's the case. But if it is, you know, you watch film, he's kind of playing point guard against guys that are look like me. And so I'm not sure, you know, if whether he can be a point guard. But if he is, you got to imagine he's a starting point guard at 6'7 with any type of handles. So I feel like the point guard position is wide open. And there's some freshmen there, even Jason Arduro at this point. It's hard to argue that the five spot's solidified. Calixt, obviously a favorite of By George's. But, you know, I can't say that any position's necessarily locked up. Do you see a freshman having any type of impact?
I think the biggest freshman to have an impact will be Josh Adoro, basically just because of his size, and that's kind of something that the team is lacking at this point. Kind of talked about how you want to kind of have two bigger players on the court at all times. And when you look at who's coming back for Mason, not even worrying about Adoro right now, you have Jordan Miller, Gona Amar, who's coming back from his injury. Of course, we saw him returning in the Atlantic 10 tournament last year. A.J. Wilson and Greg Calixt. That's four players four players that all probably believe that they should be starting on this team. And quite frankly, there's really only two spots, maybe three for them if you put Miller at the three spot. So besides that, all those guys want to start, and they're all going to need backups. Because if you put, say, you, for instance, you put Jordan Miller at the three, Gonnar Amar at the four, Greg Kulik at the five, that means for the four and the five positions, A.J. Wilson's the only backup. So Josh Adoro, who kind of has the build more type Greg Kulik, whereas A.J. Wilson has more of the build and the style of Gonnar Amar, I think you'll see Adoro kind of transition to, while he is a center in high school, he will be slightly undersized for the college game, but the way he has transitioned each and every year in high school and putting on a lot of weight, I believe he'll do the same thing when he comes into college, and we'll see a big transition from his freshman to sophomore year. He's probably going to be the backup center behind Greg Kulik, and I think a lot of fans are going to like what he produces. Of course, being a local player, a lot of fans are going to like him in that aspect as well, but there's a lot of space, ironically, in our depth due to the lack of size and guys that are going to have to play in roles that they may not be accustomed to.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. One thing I'm super excited for is, you know, we do have two local guys coming in with Xavier Johnson as at Episcopal, and our boy Adoro at Paul the Sixth. And then the unknown, you know, Daddy is the unknown. He's going to keep you kind of guessing, wanting to find out. And I think that's kind of interesting, you know, like in a Mason team where there's not a lot of hype, there's not a lot of like excitement, at least so far. You know, the recruiting news is fun to follow, but you can't say there's a lot of narrative besides players and coaches leaving at this point. And so, you know, I think one thing that's interesting is kind of having the local talent to root for. And I'm kind of excited for both guys coming in. I want to ask you, you know, one last question before I let you go. I want to ask you about that hype that I just spoke of. You know, like as being a Mason basketball fan for a while, do you feel like this offseason's just been kind of stagnant, not a lot to get excited for, et cetera? And does that even matter when being a college basketball fan to have anything to root for in the summertime? You know, is it just a winter sport to you? Curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think right now George Mason as a program isn't really a 12-month-a-year program. And there are very few programs in the country that are like that. In fact, really the only ones in the Atlantic 10 that you could even draw comparisons to being like that are VCU, because they are able to get a nice transfer year after year, and it kind of keeps that peak up. And right now they're already kind of talking about the preseason with them being preseason favorites. And then Dayton, just because of their history, the amount of success they've had in the past, and the attention that a lot of other programs respect them for. George Mason, of course, we can talk about the past couple of years for them and how it hasn't lived up to speed, but across the Atlantic 10, most other schools aren't really talking about basketball right now in the year. They're talking about the new year. Of course, the teams are looking forward to the upcoming season, but there are a lot of other priorities going on. And I think from a fan perspective, for the past couple of years, at least in the eyes of George Mason basketball fan, kind of been spoiled with the storylines just because there's something new every year. There was the change into the Atlantic 10 and how George Mason was going to compete against that. And then right after that, you have the new recruits coming in, and Marquise Moore and Jalen Jenkins from New York, guys that Paul Hewitt had picked almost exclusively just to come to Mason, and Siobhan Thompson, and just the unknown, but the raw talent, you know, he has. That was a story that next year. And the year after that is, I believe that was the year Hewitt got fired. Paulson comes in, and everyone's talking about how he's going to build the program going forward. Then, of course, the Jared Reuter transfer news that was big two seasons ago. And then last season, it's how is Jared going to come in? Can Otis step up to be a all-second team, all-first team type of player? Will Gonnar Amar do everything that he did his freshman year, lay that over to his sophomore year? Can Mason compete in the NCAA tournament? This year, it's kind of like the ship is going straight for once. We aren't tacking left and right. Everything's going straight, and a lot of good players are returning, while Otis did graduate and Jair Grayer did transfer to TCU, there is a strong contingent of players that are returning a good bulk of this roster, a good bulk of the scoring with that as well. And they, while may not be flashy right now, while they may not have kind of the big numbers that you would think they have, I think the team's going to finish probably around where they did last year. Probably going to be a team that some people are like, heck, if they win a game or two here or there that was close down the line, they might be able to be in consideration for the NIT. But I don't want to get too far ahead into preseason expectations, but just everything's been quiet on the home front, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I just think that shows how kind of crazy the past couple off seasons have been. And if we want to go back and look at all those off seasons, most of those haven't translated into huge and great news for the program. So maybe a quiet off season is exactly what the doctor ordered for George Mason.
Yep, and it's kind of hard to disagree with any of that. Guys, this has been By George Vacationers. Truthfully, I couldn't break it down any better than that, so there's no point of me even trying. The Tyler Byram, go ahead and plug yourself as we ride out.
Yeah, you can go ahead and follow me on all my social medias at The Tyler Byram. Also, last year at the end of the season, we did a couple of post-game podcasts. Hope to continue that going forward this season. Got a lot of good feedback from those, and just a different way that you can look at the game more than just the regular stats and recaps. Kind of just want it to be a conversation that we often see on Twitter, online, between everyone after the game, good or bad, and just keep that conversation going, give you something to listen to on your way to work the next day. So that's something we're going to be doing upcoming. Of course, we're getting ready for the season, probably going to have previews coming out in the latter half, predictions for the Atlantic 10 tournament. Last year, everyone on the Giant Killer team was god awful. So hopefully some of us can be a little bit closer this year. But as you all know, we're just all trying to have fun here at Giant Killer and give you content that you want. If there's something you want us to look into, just go ahead and tweet at me again. That's at the Tyler Byram.
And he's not lying there. Giant Killers, you know, we're not always accurate in our predictions, but that's why we want you to tell us how stupid we are. Go ahead and tweet us at ByGeorgeGMU, at GMU Giant Killer, website giantkiller.co for all of our content. Tyler, thanks again for hopping on.
Of course, anytime, Brian.
That was the Mason Minute, brought to you by Tyler and Brian. Up next, we got Peter Duggan of Everything VT Basketball. He was on our podcast a few weeks ago. Had to get him back in to talk about NBA free agency. Stay tuned after this station identification.
Caught me in a certain kind of place in time. We're not that soul.
This is Otis Livingston II, point guard of the George Mason Patriots, and y'all are rocking with By George, the podcast.
Put me in a certain kind of state of mind, massaging the soul. I just hope that you know.
Welcome to the third segment of Vacationers, episode 6. I got Petey Duggan back in the booth, owner of Everything Virginia Tech Basketball, constantly bringing you up to speed information on Everything Virginia Tech Basketball. Say what's up to your fans.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for having me on again, Bri.
Yeah, and it's good to, you know, Chris is on vacation, and so, you know, we have to get you to step up. We had a lot of fun with you on our Pillow Talk segment last time, and so we're excited to do a little more with you. And one thing I love talking to you about is the NBA. You've kind of been a half-ass Wizards fan just because Buffalo doesn't have a basketball team. So it's you've always kind of stayed knowledgeable of the Wizards. So let's just go ahead and kick it right off with the Wizards. How are you feeling? Are we battling to be the worst team in the league right now? Or are you kind of optimistic about the young guys?
I think we're probably going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Wow.
I mean, who are we really? I guess I'm thinking Memphis, maybe. I'm thinking maybe Charlotte now that Kimba's in Boston. But I think we're battling for a top three pick right now. I think that's the goal. We got Bradley Beal, who's going to win us some games by himself. But other than that, like, what are you really excited about? I mean, yeah, we have some youth, but I'm not too excited about Troy Brown. I'm not really excited. I got to give a shout out to our boy Justin Robinson, Virginia Tech Hokie, great. I think he's going to make the squad and contribute, but there's just not too much I'm excited about right now besides Bradley Beal. How about yourself?
You know, I think I'm used to being a fan of teams that are strapped for cash, especially through injury. So whether that be Alex Smith, Trent Williams at this point is kind of a weird situation, John Wall. And so, you know, I think once that happens, you just have to go young. And, you know, under our last regime, we were making trades that are no longer benefiting us in the slightest. And we were trading for Trevor Ariza and Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker and all these players who have played for 3 and 4 years, no true young guy. And now you see this guy, Tommy Shepard, I believe his name is, right? And he's making trades for picks for young players, all players that are participating in the Summer League game. I actually didn't watch it, this game too. So if you'd like to tell me about it, then I would love that. But so, you know, I think he's just kind of going after young, cheap players. And I've kind of liked what they've done. Free agency brought in some 3-point shooters, brought in a couple point guards. And so, you know, if any time I've ever been excited for the Wizards in the past 5 years, obviously it was the year that we swept the Raptors, or maybe it was the year that we invested all this money into round 2 tickets versus the Pacers and couldn't even make half our money. So I guess there's not that many years where like I'm going into the postseason feeling confident about winning a championship. So it's kind of fun to root for some young guys, some draft picks, and
right.
You know, and I think that's, you know, are we going to be bottom in the league? Maybe, but the East can surprise you for being terrible sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably two different questions, right? Like, are you excited for the season this year? And are you excited about the future of the Wizards? I would say the organization has the feel of it actually kind of knows what it's doing for the first time since Ernie's left. Like, I feel like we have a plan. We're not overpaying for some crazy veteran for no reason. Like, we're kind of sticking to youth. We're not forcing any bad signings. I think, you know, we have a direction and a game plan for the first time, so I am kind of excited about Shepard. But I think just looking, isolating just this season, I don't know if there's a whole lot to be excited for. I mean, I think we're going to be pretty bad, and I think that's honestly okay. Like,
but don't you enjoy,
I'm
going to
be
just,
sized for
like,
the lottery.
You went through a Yankees rebuild. You've gone through a lifelong Bills rebuild. Isn't it just kind of like at this point – like, can't you enjoy watching youth play? Like, I feel like you're so quick to hate on our young guys. Aren't you just excited to watch, like, us actually potentially develop talent?
Yeah. It's a little bit different in the NBA, right? Like, a rebuild in the NFL is kind of fun. Like, a first-round pick gets you excited. I'm sure you're excited about Haskins, like, this season. There's a chance he's actually a stud. Probably not, but there's a chance he's actually a stud. Whereas, like, NBA... I don't know. I mean, there's like, what, 8 superstars and they kind of run the show and everyone else is kind of just messing around. Like, I don't see the rookie we just took being that guy. Maybe he's like a solid bench player on a championship team one day, but I don't see any stars around our team besides Beal. And we don't really have a path to get stars, I guess, in getting lucky in the lottery next year with Wall's contract. I mean, we're going to be paying him $50 million in like 4 years. It's ridiculous. So I just think it's going to be challenging for the Wiz, and it's not that exciting with some of the young guys we got.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I would argue the difference. I think Roy Hachimotu or whatever.
I wasn't even going to try to pronounce his name.
You know, I think watching him, I've now gone back and watched a lot of his highlights and even just full games, especially Gonzaga versus Tennessee, to watch both of our draft picks. You know, and I think the Admiral is another contributor. And that's why I'm kind of excited for this team, is that they're just kind of all athletic. And that's, you know, Roy, he has a build where he doesn't necessarily have to play the four, but does he have the ball handling capabilities to bring the ball up? That's what we have to see. I think that's something that he can develop in his game. Yeah. And I think defensively, he had a block last game that was kind of monstrous. And he kind of settled in. He started slow. Everyone was hating, of course. Twitter's going nuts. And he kind of settled in. I think he finished with like 14 points and 5 boards or, you know, something not too impressive. But at the same time, you know, he's kind of your stretch four that every single NBA team is looking for right now. And I think that's why you kind of had to take your risk on him. And then, you know, he, not just him, but Troy Brown Jr., you know, I'm struggling to see an issue. I mean, the guy is 6'7", can hit the three pretty well, can play point guard. He can, you know, and I think he'll prove that over time. Here's who he can shoot the better. He can shoot a three better than is Tomas Satoransky. So he's not filling deep shoes here. You know, we just need him to, you know, just run the floor a little bit better. I think he is more of a two, which is a struggle because that's where that pick kind of tilted me because it was like, did they just draft Bradley Beal's backup for 4 years? That's what, like, I don't know.
I mean,
even
if he's a solid bench player, I think that's a win for where he was taken.
It's a lock that he's going to be a solid bench player. Just know that. It's a lock. So,
how are you feeling about Isaiah Thomas taking 30 shots a game for the Wiz?
If you're terrible, like you think we're going to be terrible, then it's a no brainer. I mean, someone has to get shots up, and you'd rather Bradley Beal not, like, break his body down. So, it makes sense. You know, Isaiah Thomas, a guy that was like about to demand max money, got traded. If you don't work with LeBron, then there's a red flag. And, you know, I think over the playoffs, like I watched a lot of the Western Conference games and I kept wondering like, why is Denver not playing this guy? Like he doesn't deserve any minutes at all on a team that's like not really like that good. Like they have good role players, but like he couldn't find a fit in for that. That kind of threw me off. I don't think that he's going to be amazing, but it sounds like the Wizards are going to need shots.
Yeah. All right. So you're thinking the Wiz might surprise some people. Like, where are you going to slot him this year? Like, just looking at the East.
I mean, the Detroit Pistons made the playoffs. So, I mean.
And Kawhi left.
Right.
And Boston might be worse.
Right. And you got potentially Westbrook, I'm seeing, could like join the Pistons as a designated spot for him. You know, different. If Westbrook comes into the East, that team's making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I think we still got to see where it shakes out. But I got some questions for you that I want to get through. That's the Wizards talk. Peter, obviously not too high on the Wizards, is kind of embracing the rebuild. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree. I'm in. Just not this year.
But you want Beal and Wall traded?
If we can attach Wall's contract to Beal, I want that trade to happen. Otherwise, I'm cool with Beal being here forever, but I think that contract is going to hold us back for the next 4 years. So I would pretty much trade anyone to get rid of that.
Okay. I got some rapid fire questions for you, Petey, our basketball expert here from everything Virginia Tech basketball. I'm going to run down a list of questions here. I want you to give me your answers. I'm not going to debate you. This is your time to shine. The Mavs are building a Euro team. And I wonder, does that team as of right now have any chance to contend for the championship this year?
Man, this year I would say no, but I do like what they're building. I love Luka. I mean, if Porzingis stays healthy, I just think it's a little too soon for them to be championship contenders, but I think they could legit make the playoffs. And I love what they're building. I think they could be good in the next couple of years.
One thing I don't know is Goran Dragic. I don't know if that trade went through or not. Is he on the Mavs? Do we know?
I can't. That's something I'm not sure of. I can't confirm that one.
Deep cuts come to us for everything basketball related. Brooklyn Nets. I want to know if they're the Brooklyn Bombers, as in like they're hitting home runs like your boys, the Yankees, or are they the Brooklyn Bombers, like they're going to bomb their kind of like DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Durant, Kyrie? Are they a contender? Which type of bombers are they?
I think they're going to bomb.
Wow.
Like bad. I think Kyrie you saw what he did in Boston, what he did to that team, kind of ripped him apart personality-wise. Like, is Kevin Durant ever going to be good again? I mean, obviously he was the man last year, but that injury is serious. I mean, look what it did to Cousins. Look what it's done to a ton of players. I think they invested a ton, and you know, they, I guess they needed to, but it's going to... I don't think they're going to be good this year. Maybe, you know, Kyrie can sneak him into a playoff spot just because it's the East. But I don't know. Durant's kind of got to prove that he still has it. Achilles tears are not easy for basketball players to recover. I mean, he can age well with his shot, but I just think that's going to be a tricky spot for them. DeAndre Jordan is terrible, and they gave him $40 million.
And not only that, but like, and I don't mean to cut you off, but like, didn't they have Jared Allen, who's like a solid five man, who was like, getting like poster blocks on every type player? Like, do they really need to bring in like an over-the-hill DeAndre Jordan? It kind of threw me off. D'Angelo Russell went to the Warriors, which who the hell knows what's going on there. Peter thinks the Brooklyn Nets are gonna bomb. Lakers or Clippers? I want a couple questions here.
All right,
which team is going to be better, and you know, does the West go through LA no matter what?
Damn, that's a tough one. I'm going to say the Lakers are better. I heard they just broke news that LeBron's going to be their point guard.
What?
I missed that. Yeah. Yeah. They just, a couple different places reported, like legit sources said that they're planning on making LeBron the point guard, which I actually think is the right move. And I think Anthony Davis is going to step up to MVP level. Paul George just had surgery on both his shoulders. Like, nobody talks about that they gave up 5 first round picks for a guy that has 2 bad shoulders. So I think there's a lot of risk. Kawhi might not be fully healthy. I'm going to pick the Lakers over the Clippers. And
unpopular opinion.
Yeah, I know. It's different. Everyone's kind of all over the Clippers right now, but I think they got
two injury
prone guys.
Is Patrick Beverley a solid point guard? I don't know.
I mean, he's a good defender. For some reason, I just don't think it's going to work out, and I think Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to tear it up, and I kind of like their little ads with, like, Danny Green and those guys and just getting Boogie for $3 million.
I think, a no-brainer. Like, everyone's talking about JaVale McGee starting. It's like, well, we'll find out. If Cousins is anywhere near healthy and doesn't have to play a full game, I'd say watch out.
Right. So I'm taking the Lakers, and I'll say it runs through them. I like Utah and Denver. Those are like the other teams I was thinking about, but I'll say it runs through the Lakers.
Portland added the guy from Miami, blanking on his name right now.
Whiteside?
Yeah, Portland adding Whiteside because they were in the Western Conference Finals. Does that make them any better? They beat Denver.
Right. They beat Denver. Damian Lillard went out of his mind. To me, it didn't seem like a sustainable thing for them to be like a dominant team moving forward. I think it was kind of like this random thing where Lillard went crazy. So I put Denver, Utah, and the Lakers ahead of them and the Clippers, honestly. I think they're like a 5 or 6 seed.
Damian, you heard it here. Hopefully that's some motivation for you.
I'm sure he's got to be listening.
Last question for Petey. Is Boston a contender? Obviously, as Wizards fans, we've been a part of the death row games, all this BS, you know, a couple playoff series. Actually, Isaiah Thomas dropped 50 on us after his sister died in a crazy game. Man, lost his tooth during the season, may have actually hurt his hip to the point of not being replaceable. But now we still kind of hate Boston, at least I do. Are they a contender?
So first, I hate Boston too. Everything about them, I've hated them for so long. Are they a contender? I guess it depends what you mean. I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs. There's not a lot of teams better than them just because the East losing Kawhi. I mean, I think the Bucks are better. So I don't think they're going to go to the finals, but I think they could legit be a 2 or 3 or 4 seed. Like, there's just not that many good teams in the East that can compete with them. I think Kemba's a good player, and those young guys might improve with Kyrie gone. So I'm going to say they're sort of a contender, but I'm not thinking they're going to win a championship.
There you have it. Everything basketball from our guy, Peter Duggan. Where can they follow you? Go ahead and plug yourself a little bit, both your website, even your own personal little Instagram, if you like.
Yeah, follow me at Hokie B-Ball Fans, and www.everythingvtbasketball.com is the website for all Virginia Tech basketball news, recruiting, any updates with the team. Just check it out. Yep, that's it.
I've seen a Twitter bit go around recently that you have to state your fanhood right now. July 2019, I'm going to hit you with the teams. You're going to tell us who you're a fan of, and then we're going to ride out. NFL football.
Buffalo Bills.
NHL hockey.
Buffalo Sabres.
MLB baseball.
Yankees all day.
NBA.
Wizards, forced.
College football and college basketball.
I mean, that's the easiest question yet. Virginia Tech Hokies.
Our guy's a Hokie here through and through. We like to collab with him. Us being Mason guys, it's always fun to kind of chat with the local guy here. Make sure you follow everything he just told you to follow, and we'll tag him in all of our stuff. Peter, thanks for hopping on to our last segment. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.